Well, thank God for the hope of heaven. Once that you really get interested in heaven. I said, yeah, I really do. Because it is real. It's a real place for real people. Amen. No more arthritis. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight. Amen. All right. Genesis 37, please. Well, we not only open it, but we try to follow it. Amen. Amen. We're going to get through the high pollen count in the neighborhood. I tell you, I love spring, but I'm allergic to spring. I'm allergic to summer. My eyes water, my throat gets dry, I sneeze. It's a terrible thing, but it's just something you got to endure if you have allergies or you've got the high pollen count gets to you. But before we get started into the message tonight, just another quick announcement that any teenagers that want to go bowling Saturday, they can bring their friends, all right? And if you need a ride, let me know. We'll be glad to pick you up, and we'll have a great time, all right? All right, tonight we're going to go over a little bit of the life of Joseph, one of Israel's great patriarchs, and one of the great figures of Israel's rich history. And Joseph was Jacob's 11th son, yet Rachel's firstborn. And Rachel was Jacob's best-loved wife. Back in those days, they had more than one, and it just was the way of the culture. And their son Joseph was their favorite. Is any of you old enough to remember the Smothers Brothers? All right, which one was Tommy? Sure? Which one was the goofy one? Is that Tommy? Is he the one that said, Dad always? Yeah, something like that, yeah. It was a favorite of the boys. That's how I remember that. But Joseph was the favorite son. And because of that favoritism, they did have some problems to overcome. But tonight we're going to discuss a little bit of the life of Joseph. And Joseph is a picture of Christ in the Bible. And his brethren are a picture of Israel. And the relationship they had with each other, we'll see from the scriptures tonight, has a lot of similarities between Christ and Israel. And so in Genesis, I'd like you to look at verse chapter 37, please, and verse number 3 through 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. When you're starting off that way, that it's not always a very good thing to have favorites in a family, because jealousies do come out of it. But because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors, he favored him. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they what? Yeah, that's what happens when parents have favoritism, right? And could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. If it were me, I might not want to share that next dream, would you? And said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can gather tonight in a free society. We have freedom to come here to our church without fear of persecution. We thank you for the many blessings in our life. And now we ask that as we study your word, that you'd open our hearts and minds to the scriptures, that we might be closer to you and better able to serve you this week. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention to a few things in our lesson tonight, in our study tonight. And if we go back to verse number 4, we're reminded that Joseph was hated and rejected by his brethren. And Joseph's brethren, as I said, is a picture of Israel. And in verse 4, the Bible says they hated him. And if we go down to verse number 28, that anger and hatred turn to conspiracy. You know, sin always has momentum, doesn't it? If it's not put in check, it goes like cancer. It's like how leprosy continues to grow. And so the anger turned to hatred. The hatred turns to rejection. And now the rejection is turning to conspiracy. And they're plotting his doom. Notice verse number 18. We go down in the chapter. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Here they're talking about their own brother in this way. Imagine the anger they have that they're willing to kill their brother. There must have been a great deal of hatred in their heart. Verse number 20, Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And so they're conspiring against him. In verse number 24, they actually do take him. And notice, we'll go to verse 23 and 24. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. Can you see them now ganging up on him and taking off his coat and mocking him and poking fun at their little brother and taunting him? You know, dad's not around to protect him, right? But they stripped him, Joseph, out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And so they conspire, they hate, they cast him into the pit. And Israel also, wasn't Israel hated and rejected? They rejected Christ, didn't they? They turned against Christ. They turned against God's Son. The Bible says in John chapter 15, they hated me without a cause. John 11 says they took counsel for to put him to death. And in Matthew chapter 27, if you turn there, please, Matthew 27:35, we find that Joseph is a picture of Christ and Christ's rejection from Israel. Matthew 27:35. All right, got it? All right, read it with me. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And so as Christ was rejected of Israel, Joseph is rejected by his brethren. And so we have a picture here of Joseph being rejected and being turned away. And Joseph is thrown into this pit and he's left for dead. And we know that Christ was crucified, left for dead on the cross, and died on the cross. And so as we go further into the story, I'd like you to turn over a few more pages in Genesis. Back in Genesis chapter 42, Joseph's brethren didn't know that he was exalted and spared and being very useful in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 42, you know the story, how that he was rescued and that how God's favor was upon him, and and how that God made him second on all the land as he grew up and gained the favor of the Pharaoh. But notice Genesis 42, verses 5 through 8. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came for the famine, was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. Years have gone by. Joseph now is a respected individual high up in the government, and he's in charge of everything under Pharaoh. Pharaoh realized that he was an unusual man, gifted, and one that had favor with God, and God protected him, and God raised him up as he was starting out to be in captivity, but now he has an exalted place in the government. His family thinks he's dead. His family thinks that he was torn apart by wild animals as the boys took his coat of many colors and killed an animal. And you know the story, how the blood got on this special coat. And they brought the coat back without the brother. And the father, of course, mourned many days and had a heavy heart all his life up to this time. But little did they know it, that Joseph was really far away in Egypt, and he was being blessed by God. And the famine comes on the land, and as it turns out, his brothers have got to go to Egypt and to buy food. And they don't realize that they're actually dealing with their own brother in the flesh, who they believe is long gone. And the verse number 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Here we have actually his childhood dream is coming into reality as his older brothers are bowing down before him. They don't know it's him, but they're bowing down before him. And verse number 7, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. He was playing voice games with them. He was disguising his voice, and he didn't want to let on who he was right at that particular time. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies. To see the nakedness of the land are you come. And they said, he's really playing games with them. He's getting even. You know how brothers can get even? He's taking it for all it's worth, and he's teasing them, and he's making them afraid right here. But it's interesting that Joseph is exalted now, and God exalted him in the process of time. And he's second in command of Egypt under Pharaoh. And everyone thought that he was dead. You know, the nation Israel does not know that Christ is exalted right now. He's exalted right now. He's at the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And yet, they think that Jesus actually lived and died and stayed dead. And so, Joseph is a picture of Christ. Thank God he is exalted. Thank God he is at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And one day he is really going to receive all the glory that's due unto his name. Amen. He's going to come back to this old world and reign for 1,000 years and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. But Joseph's brethren did not know of his exaltation. And Israel is still rejecting the Messiah. They still do not believe that he is God's dearly beloved son. And the Bible talks about the blindness that has come to Israel. I'd like you to look at Romans 11:25, please. Romans 11:25 talks about the national blindness of Israel. Romans 11:25. Someone says, the trouble in the Middle East, who's at fault? Is the Jews or the Arabs? Or they're all at fault. Amen. None of them have the truth concerning God's word. And notice verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so as a nation, Israel is in spiritual blindness, but one day they'll be saved. They'll be saved at the coming of Christ, nationally, all at one time. They're going to behold him, the one that they said his blood be on us and our children. As they see the scars in his hands and the scars in his feet and the scar in his side, at the second coming, they will be reborn as a nation and they will be receptive of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, the nation Israel does not know of Christ's exaltation. In 2 Corinthians 3:15, please. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Charge. It's a lady's favorite term, right? Charge. Better watch those charges. They get us in a lot of trouble after a while. Amen? I never thought I'd live in a plastic society. It seems like that real money is not even used as much as it used to be. Notice verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Talking about Israel. And the veil of unbelief is upon the heart of Israel. And look also at Acts 3, 17, please. Acts 3, 17. Acts 3, 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. He's talking about the ignorant, the spiritual ignorance that God has laid upon Israel. And chapter 13, 27 of Acts. Acts 13, 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And so it's talking about the blindness and the rejection of Israel. So Joseph is a type of Christ, and his brethren are a type of Israel. And today, Israel doesn't really know that Christ is exalted. In Genesis, we'll go back to chapter 42. Joseph, through his love for his brethren, he preserves them in this great time of famine. And verse 19 of chapter 42, if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And so he's preserving them. He's giving them food. He's not telling them who he is yet. And Joseph's brethren are preserved. Carry corn for the famine to your houses. The nation of Israel is preserved by Christ right now. There's only one reason why Israel is not wiped off the face of the earth. It's because God has preserved them. And they don't know it. But they will one day. And God is also using a little tool to help them out called the United States of America, the only superpower left in the world. And we're not found in the Bible. There are many countries listed in the Bible. America is not in the Bible. But God is using this country to keep Israel alive, to keep them from being pushed off into the sea. But God has a special love for Israel and a special plan for Israel. Joseph is a picture of Christ's preservation of his brethren. And the nation of Israel is preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Look please at Psalm 121 and verse 4. Psalm 121 and verse number 4. Familiar verse, amen. Behold, read it with me. Behold, he that keepeth Israel slumber. It's God that's keeping Israel. Amen. God is preserving Israel. In spite of her blindness, in spite of her rejection of truth, just as Joseph was rejected by his brethren, and he preserved his brethren, God is preserving Israel through the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph's brethren were led to repentance by their by affliction. Back in Genesis 42, we go to verses 14 through 17. And Joseph said unto them, That is it. And I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You shall go forth hence, except your younger brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, the third day this do and live, for I fear God. And so we find that he's speaking to them roughly, and he puts them in prison. And in verse number 21, the Bible says these words, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Now they're thinking back years before, when they thought they had killed their brother, as they were getting rid of him, and as he was taken away by a band. And now they're saying, this is what we got. This God is dealing with us over that. Their conscience was bothering them. And they're saying, this is why we're in prison now. This is why God is dealing with us this way. It's because of what we did. We let our father believe that he was dead. We let everyone in the family believe that Joseph was killed by wild animals. And this is what's happening to us. And so they're repenting. They're afflicted. The nation of Israel shall be led to repentance also one day, and through affliction. The world is going to continue to turn up its rejection on Israel every day. More and more hatred towards Israel and towards the Jewish race in these last days, that's for sure. The nation of Israel is going to be led to repentance. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy says, the Lord shall give thee sorrow of mind. Matthew 24 says, then shall there be great tribulation. There'll be a 7-year period of great tribulation for Israel as God is testing them and trying them. Boy, oh boy, that's going to be some time. Can you imagine a world without the Holy Spirit? A world without God? The Bible says that you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. What would this world be like without any love in it? What would this world be like without millions of Christians that make the world a pleasant place? Amen. And so Israel is going to go through 7 years of tribulation as God is going to test them. And they will repent at the end through their affliction. Joseph's brethren finally had revealed himself to them in chapter 45 and verse number 1 of Genesis. Finally, he's got to tell them. He can't keep in the secret anymore because of his love for them. Genesis 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. What an attitude he had. Amen. You meant it for evil, but God allowed it for good. You had bad intentions for me, but I know that it was God's plan for my life that I went through this difficult time, because now I'm in a position to preserve life. Now I'm in a position to help my people. And so he reveals himself to his brethren. And of course, they're troubled at first. I bet they were shocked. I bet they were so afraid. And yet, you know, this shows us about God's great love. The nation Israel shall yet have Christ revealed to them. Zechariah says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. When Jesus Christ reveals himself to Israel, the Bible says there's going to be such weeping and such mourning fathers weeping out loud and mothers weeping out loud and children weeping out loud. Uncontrollable mourning to realize that all their history, they've been rejecting God's lovely Son. And the mourning shall be so strong that it would be a strange thing. I'll tell you, tears are a powerful tool, aren't they? Amen. And that's going to be a day of mourning, but it's going to be a great day when they realize that Jesus was really what he said he was, God's only begotten Son. And just as Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, one day, who knows how far away, we don't know, but one of these days, after the rapture of the church, after the 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself to Israel. And there will be great mourning, but there will also be joy after that. Yes, Joseph finally reveals himself. Can you imagine the anticipation Joseph had as he's carrying on? And it's like a game he's playing with them. He's revealing them, he's giving them food and taking care of them, and all the time wanting so bad to say, hey, it's me. The Lord, one of these days, is going to say, hey, Israel, guess what? It's me. I'm back. Take a look right here. It's me. It's really me. One of these days, it's going to happen. Revelation says, he cometh. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall, what? See him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. How could every eye see the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth? Well, television's going to help. Can you imagine CNN? NBC, ABC, you name the channel. We watch in real-time news all the time now. You know, when Jesus Christ comes back, truly every eye will see him. Just as the Bible said. Well, Joseph's brethren were especially favored and used by him. The nation of Israel shall be specially favored and used by God during that 1,000-year reign. Joseph's brethren bowed in adoration before him in chapter 50 of Genesis. Genesis 50 and verses 18 and 19. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. And so Joseph's dream became a reality as his brethren bowed down and worshiped at his feet. But the nation Israel is going to bow down one day before the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible predicts. Philippians says every knee shall bow down before him and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, Pastor, every knee is going to bow one day? Yes, that's what the Bible says. One day every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Luke chapter 1, I'm almost finished here, Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 and 33. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Joseph's brethren bowed in adoration before him, and one day Israel is going to bow before Jesus, and Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Joseph had one request before he died, and his request was that his bones be carried into Canaan land when all the people left. And that was fulfilled. It took 400 years. And we'll close with this verse, Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 19. Exodus 13, verse number 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light and go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And so Joseph's bones are carried back to the promised land. And Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his brethren is a picture of Israel. And right now they are in blindness. They are in spiritual darkness. But one day they're going to be saved as a nation. And so pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're exhorted to pray for Israel. And God will bless those that bless them. You know that promise that God made to Abraham is still in effect. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. We should be good to God's chosen people and pray for them and pray that God will soon reveal himself to them. But let's be dismissed in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the hope of your soon return. And the Lord, you know that everything that you say about your coming will be a reality. To the letter, it will all be fulfilled. We pray for our country that you'd help us to be strongly united in helping Israel, your chosen people. And we pray for peace in the Middle East right now. And we ask, Lord, that our soldiers will soon be able to come home with their mission accomplished. We pray you'd watch over them and protect them. And we thank you for the sacrifice that they are making this evening. And we pray you bless our fellowship tonight and the food that we're about to have. And we thank you for your love for us. And prepare us for this week, the challenges of this week. And also next Sunday, as we honor our mothers. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.